Welcome everyone to the Kanto Cast. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And come on into the casino, because we're about to talk all things Star Wars and geek.
So grab a blue milk.
And get some Wampa Jerky.
Pull up with your favorite Tauntaun.
Because we are about to get things started.
You may want to buckle up, baby.
Welcome everyone back to another episode. It has been a while, but we are glad to be back on the mic here, and thankfully both Jeff and I are healthy and safe from the coronavirus, and hopefully all of our listeners are as well. But yeah, Jeff, how have things been going for you, especially in the midst of this coronavirus scare that we're currently going through?
Yeah. Well, like you said, I'm happy to report I am healthy. Got my hazmat suit on. Just kidding. No, I don't. But no, I'm healthy, and it was just, I guess it's just really started hitting home for me this week, especially yesterday morning. Got up at my normal time at 5 a.m. to get ready for work and checked our website just in case something changed over the weekend, and found out, hey, we're closed down for 14 days, so... And normally I'd be jumping up and down to have a 14 days off of work. But when everything's closed, that kind of changes things because there's not much to do. So.
Oh, yeah.
Just have to roll with it.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah, my university is shut down this entire week. And then we're doing online classes for the rest of the semester. So it has really taken grip of, I could say, a lot of the school systems. And, you know, it's different, college versus kindergarten through 12th grade. But, you know, at least at the university level, I mean, it's also resonating. And I'm having teachers, you know, professors giving class updates on, you know, what's going on, how they're going to proceed. And, yeah, they're all kind of just as shocked as I am. And they're trying to put together, you know, an online class together in the matter of like a week, really, before class picks up. So there's just a lot going on in that regard. But it's been dead otherwise, you know. Like, it's been a good week. I actually moved out of my dorm and back into the safety of my home for the rest of the semester, just because there's no reason to be on campus. You know, there's no more office hours. There's no more classes going on. And, you know, it also is, I can control a lot more, you know, and keep my, you know, room clean compared to, you know, like an entire campus that, you know. So anyways, just for those safety reasons and for the practicality of it, you know, I've moved, and we've just been trucking through it.
Yeah, like I feel bad for the high school seniors.
Oh yeah,
it's getting to that time of year where the seniors are starting to plan all their big senior activities, and hey, they might just be getting canceled this year, because I know high schools nowadays also have the ability to do stuff online for classwork and stuff. Yeah. But as far as the fun stuff that comes with being a senior, you can't do a class trip online, so I feel bad for them. So it's just one of those things. And kind of weird around, at least around my neighborhood. My neighborhood's a quiet neighborhood to begin with, but I can at least, normally when I walk outside, I see people taking walks, walking their dog, driving up and down the road.
Yep.
Lately, I walk out front, it's like a ghost town.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really eerie, and I guess me watching all those post-apocalyptic movies and shows, I don't know. It just, that's in the back of your mind every now and then. It's like, oh my goodness, this is almost like the end of the world.
I know. It's just that you get that sense of public panic. It's dangerous. I mean, it's really dangerous. And it's what's even scarier, too, is that the public is panicking about something that's not even, you know, necessarily just devastating, you know, to like a society, you know, like especially for the younger, really people below the age of like 70, you know, besides like the more on the elderly side, majority of people have been able to like, you know, get through the virus without any, you know, like, you know, major issues like death. You know, yeah. I mean, the people that need to be concerned the most are, like, you know, like my great grandparents, you know, who are really old at this point, or I guess they only have one left, but she's in her, you know, 90s. You know, yeah. She's the one that has to worry. You know, I don't have to worry as much being a 19-year-old. You know, it's like, it's pretty much would be, I mean, it'd be nasty to get it for sure, but, right. You know, yeah. I would.
Worried about my parents, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's the group that needs to be worried the most. But yeah. It's just, it's scary to see that, to see that, you know, kind of public panic over something that's not even, you know, super, super bad.
Right. And even though I just recently turned 51, I'm not really worried because still that's relatively young, not really in the, I guess, at, they say at risk age range. So,
yeah.
But still, my parents are getting there. They're late 70s, so they're on the edge of that. And my dad, with what happened to my dad this past year already, almost dying and stuff. So,
yeah,
he's really he's.
You there?
So.
I think it disconnected us there for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, just pick up from where you were.
Okay. Yeah, I just hope my dad, you know, doesn't get it and just stay inside. And which is gonna be really hard for him since he's an outdoor guy, so but
oh yeah.
I think he can do it. He's done it this long, so as long as he only goes out for his doctor's appointments, he'll be.
Yeah, he'll be fine for sure, I think. And in better news, in way, way better news. Well, first off, you know, I don't know if you listened to Martin and I's podcast. I know we hopped on and talked about some shows, but.
Yeah, I heard some of it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I don't know if we were able to entice anyone into starting to watch Neon Genesis, but, you know, it's always out there. It's always a great show to watch. Highly, highly recommend it to anyone that missed it from last few weeks ago, actually. Jeez. Kind of crazy to think it's been that long already, but yeah.
And some of us have free time now, so now's a good time to, you know, start binge watching stuff and.
Oh yeah. It is.
Yeah. You don't have anything to do. We always have Disney Plus. So.
That is true. That is really true. And speaking of shows on Disney Plus, I guess obviously, well, the Clone Wars. We have finished our first arc in the, you know, season 7. So that's obviously a big thing we want to talk about. But. Yes. Yeah, Jeff, give us your kind of your rundown on the arc and what you thought. You know, anything you want to talk about? Let's hear it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this Bad Batch arc. I know I've heard some people saying that this last episode, this fourth episode, Unfinished Business, was the best of the four, and I sort of agree. But I also like last week's one. What was it? On the Wings of Kyardax. I like that one too, but yeah, this past one, Unfinished Business, was really cool. Seeing what Crosshair did, running up that hallway, slapping those things on the wall. Now, when he was running up there slapping those things on the wall, I thought they were charges. I thought they were explosives. He was just going to blow the hall up. But no, they were I guess deflectors to make the laser bolt ricochet.
Yeah.
When he shot that one bolt and it ricocheted all the way up those hallways and killed all those droids like that, that had been some of the coolest animation I've ever seen in the Clone Wars. That was so cool. I actually stopped, backed it up, rewatched it like maybe 7 or 8 times. That was just awesome. Because I was like, did he just do? No, he didn't. So.
Yeah, no, that was, like you said, just really cool to see. I mean, that was a really unique thing that I had never really seen done before.
Yeah, because, I mean, he had to be so precise, too, where he was slapping those when he was running, too.
Oh, yeah. It's like he, you know, never got the chance to do it, and he'd been practicing it for years, and finally his chance came to show off a little bit. I mean, they were just showing off in that episode.
Yeah, and at that point. He did show up Wrecker, because Wrecker was like, he's going to try to show me up.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yep, yeah.
Wow, that was awesome, because I was like, man, if he... Yeah, he had to have been planning something like that for a while if he knew where exactly to put all those and stuff like that. Because like I said, I thought they were just charges because it looked to me like he was just randomly slapping them on the wall. So,
yeah.
But yeah, when he pulled his rifle up and looked through the scope, I was like, no way. So I kind of knew what he was doing there. Just shot that one in. That's all it took, one blaster bolt. So
yeah, that was an awesome. And then of course watching, well, I guess Anakin kind of helped out Wrecker on this one, but watching the Separatist fleet, you know, get destroyed, also another beautiful piece of animation too that was really impressive.
Yeah, when he stole the charge there for Wrecker to blow it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor. That's one thing throughout the whole arc. Him, Wrecker was just. I guess he was like comic relief too.
Yeah, he was.
I forget. I think it was the second episode where you saw him in the background when they were talking about the mission, and he's in the background there chewing on the turkey leg, it looks like, and bench pressing a power droid. So I was like, oh my God, the dude, one hand he has a turkey leg, the other hand he's just benching a power droid.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so I would like to know, I have to do some research, what exactly that was he was eating. What leg to what kind of Star Wars creature was that he was eating?
Yeah, that would be a good piece of trivia.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know. I don't think they have turkeys in the Star Wars universe, so.
Not that I know. Maybe they have their own version, but I don't think turkeys really exist. But out of, like, the four Bad Batch clones, you know, now that we've seen the full arc, which one would you say is your favorite after all four episodes?
After the very first one, I will admit that Wrecker was my favorite just because of the impression he made on me right away. But after seeing all of them, all the episodes, I think I can't decide between two, Hunter and Tech.
Yeah.
I just like Hunter because he reminds me of Rex. He's a good leader for the Bad Batch. And Tech, I think he was just the more sound of all of them. He had the smarts. He just had the more sense than all of them. Because at one time, I think he even had a talk to Hunter about, you know, the right thing to do. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it would be Hunter or Tech would be my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, those are good options. I would say Tech is my second favorite. And then I could pull a quick one here and say that Echo was my favorite after all four episodes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, because he joined him at the very end.
He joined him. So you could almost argue that he... I mean, obviously, you know, not with him to the very end, but... I mean, I really liked Echo in this arc. I mean, it was obviously having, you know, the way he was found in was really bad, you know, really bad shape. But I loved that he used the Trade Federation's, you know, own cruelty against, you know, the Trade Federation.
Right.
You know, to really deal a major blow to them. So I really just like seeing that turn of the tide and just seeing like what a really good like you can almost say asset or a piece of technology, weirdly enough, that Echo is, that he can, you know, now that he has access to a bunch of stuff from the Trade Federation and he has strategies, you know, data banked for both sides. So I mean, he really is, you know, worth a lot, I feel like.
Yeah, and there was a couple of times there when I thought he may have just had one screw too loose and was going to screw the clones there at one point. But yeah. I was like, no, because I was on the fence. I was like,
Hunter.
I was like, can you really trust him? And Rex was like, yes, you can. And of course Rex is going to say that without a doubt because he came up with Echo. But or Echo came up underneath him.
Yeah,
so
right, exactly.
It, but yeah, coming out from the outsider, like the Bad Batch, I was like, you know, we got to watch this guy because you never know. And then when he did do something that looked like it was, you know, well, what's he doing? But no, he knew what he was doing.
Yep.
He wanted to get them all there in one place and then just shut them all down at one time. And yeah. And I like the fact that Rex told him at the end there, it's like, hey, if that's where you feel you really belong, you know, go.
Yep.
That's where you need to be. And he did. So I just like the look Rex gave him when they turned around at the end and they both saluted each other. That was really cool. So,
yeah.
You never know. There might be another episode here in one of the remaining arcs that we see the Bad Batch real quick again, and Echo will be all suited up in the Bad Batch armor, so.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, too. Like, Echo was almost became, you know, part astromech with his hand and everything.
Yeah.
You know, he could plug into the I guess, the same thing that the astromechs can plug into and, you know, spin the little, whatever it's called, dial and get a bunch of information or, you know, like, program something. So, you know, that was the first time I've ever seen, you know, a human do that before. So that was, you know, unique.
First time I saw that, I was like, oh, he has an R2 hand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that was really cool, obviously, to see. And then, yeah, this arc was, I mean, it was a lot of fun. This was a good arc, and it was, like, a really good introduction. You know, nothing too crazy happened, but it was just a really good way to get back into the swing of things with Clone Wars. And I think we're going to probably get a few really heavy and deep, you know, arcs, you know, coming our way now to, you know, it's going to start getting pretty serious, I think, pretty quick here in you know, I guess you could say these next two arcs.
This one coming up here in a couple of days on the 20th is the return of Ahsoka.
Yeah. So. I feel like, I mean, this arc was just, I feel like it's building up, you know, all of the emotions and the storylines and the character arcs. I feel like it's all going to build up to, like, a really, you know, kind of maybe really dark and, you know, huge finale at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many people out there saw it, but I just saw it right before we started recording. I found it on Nerdist. Their top, right when you open their website, at least when I opened it, it was their top story at the top of their website about see Ahsoka return to the Clone Wars, and they have a 1 minute long video that looks like it may have been a TV clip for it, and it does. It kind of looks, you know, there are a couple scenes in there where you even hear Ahsoka saying, if I go down this path, I don't know if I'll be the same or something like that. And yeah, she looks like she hooks up with some younger people there in the Coruscant underworld.
Yeah.
And goes on a couple adventures with them. And she really, and at one point, the one girl even asked, where'd you learn how to fight like that? And Ahsoka goes, I don't feel like talking about that right now, so, or I don't think I should say.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Sometimes honesty is the best policy. Just come right out and say it. Hey, I used to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You don't know where these people stand on them, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Better keep your mouth shut right now, so.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to maybe give away too much, and.
Right.
You know, I've always heard the quote, you know, if honesty is the best policy, well, by process of elimination, dishonesty is the second best policy. So,
right.
You know, sometimes I guess you got to do what you got to do. And she doesn't, you know, really, again, she's on Coruscant, the same planet that the Jedi are on. and the Republic is headquartered. So if word got out that, you know, kind of a rogue Jedi was wandering around the underworld, you know, you could bet they'd have a whole legion of clones coming after her, and that's exactly what she doesn't want.
It looks like she... I'm kind of hoping that this next arc that starts on Friday sort of opens up with maybe not the exact same night or evening, but maybe like the next day that she actually walked out of the temple.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it picks up like a day after she left the temple and she's looking for some place to go because maybe she can't get off world right away. And she just goes to the underworld because, hey, we know the Jedi don't go down there.
Right. Yeah, they don't. They don't. And unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah, that's where she went to hide when she was wrongly convicted. So she went to the underworld.
Yep.
So, yeah, they don't go down there at all. So why not go down there and try to hide out for a while until she can get off world? So, yeah. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it picks up soon after she left. So it's not like, you know, Anakin's probably not out there looking for her because, you know, she left. She walked away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I guess it is better to keep her head down and not tell anybody, hey, I just walked out of the Jedi Temple. I quit being a Jedi. Because that's probably what saved her life in when Order 66 happened.
Yeah.
We'll find out in this season, but I think I heard somewhere that her and Rex faked their own deaths. So I can't remember where I heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I hate to go off topic here real quick, but do you feel like talking about football for a few minutes?
Sure.
I just got this. It just popped up actually on Chrome here. I just got a notification and it's NFL saying that Philip Rivers just signed a 1-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts for $25 million.
Oh yeah. I think I saw that notice. Popped up on my phone today.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm a Colts fan, and Rivers and Manning, I mean San Diego, because we played them when they were San Diego, and Indianapolis always had
that's where he spent all his career. So.
Yeah, but we always had a big rivalry with them. I mean, we always had some really tight games.
Yeah. Another interesting piece of news that came out today, too, everyone's talking about. Where will Tom Brady be playing next year? It will not be with the Patriots.
My guess is L.A. L.A. Chargers.
He might go to the Chargers Chargers got rid of.
It makes sense. You know,
yeah.
L.A.'s been working maybe behind the scenes with Brady. They push, you know, Rivers out. So that way there's no, like, competition.
Huh.
And then Tom Brady comes in and maybe plays a few years in L.A. and
retires.
And retires.
I can't. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other teams that are in desperate need for a quarterback as well.
Well, Tennessee was a talking point, but then the Titans gave Tannehill that nice fat contract, so he's not going anywhere.
I'm not sure. I think the Broncos need a quarterback.
They do. I don't know, because I know they signed Joe Flacco, but I don't know if Flacco is still under contract.
I don't think he worked out too great for them at all.
No, it did not. They had a really rough season on offense.
Yeah, and he was hard. I mean, when he got pulled and didn't get put back in, so yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is because wouldn't that be something if Peyton Manning and Tom Brady both ended their career with the same team?
That would be crazy. And I could see it. Like, I mean, Brady and Manning are friends, you know, despite what a lot of people think. Like, they at least they have a high level of mutual respect and like necessarily hard feeling. Like, I think they're actually, like, right. they're friends. So Manning it would yeah. probably not be, you know, against Brady coming to Denver at all. And you know that John Elway would love to have Brady.
I think Elway would jump all over that.
So that's another good place. Cool, you know.
And yeah, I never a Brady fan, and that's only because of the team he played for.
Yeah, yeah. If he hadn't have been, it's nothing. Yeah, I have nothing against Brady as a Colts fan and as a Manning fan.
Right.
I just, you know, hate the Patriots by default.
It's a team he played for I had a problem with. Yep. And when I saw that news today that he wasn't going to sign with him, I was like, oh, thank you. Get out of there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I don't care the Patriots go 0-16. I will still hate them.
Yep.
I will still hope they go 0-16 next season, too.
Yep.
And
it would it'd just be so nice to see him in a different uniform so I can go, you know what? I always respected you. Now I could actually root for you.
Yep.
Because you're not playing with the Patriots.
Yep, exactly. So.
But you know, I'm just for some reason the Broncos is the first team that came to my mind. And then after that, then after I saw the Phillip Rivers thing, I'm like, well, the Chargers are a contender now too.
Yeah.
And I think Cam Newton's going to be looking for a place because I heard Carolina Panthers are looking to sign Bridgewater.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Newton,
and that just scares me because Ron Rivera is now the head coach of my Redskins.
Yeah.
He coached Newton. And I'm like, oh my God, don't tell me. The Redskins are going to sign him. I have nothing against Cam Newton, but just some of his when they were, I remember when they were in the Super Bowl and he walked out of a couple of press conferences like a little kid. It just got to me like this dude needs to be a little bit more professional.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, man, I don't know if I want him on the Redskins. I mean, Rivera has a great young quarterback that he already said reminds him of Cam Newton that he can develop.
Yeah.
So don't go signing your old quarterback, please. So.
Yeah.
You know, right when I saw it. Please don't.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing that Washington does not need right now is another freaking quarterback controversy. Yeah, right now we sort of have one. But, hey, maybe Rivera has somebody in the draft that's coming up that he has his eyes on.
That's true. And, Joe Burrow, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, my God, would that be awesome.
I mean, I think Burrow is going to do great wherever he goes, as long as he has, you know, some tools around him to throw to.
Exactly. I thought he was, the season he just had, he's going to, if he goes to the right team, he's going to be able to get whatever kind of money he wants.
Yeah. How is the Washington's, how is their receiving core? Are they good?
They're not that bad. I think they're trying, that's one thing Rivera's trying to shape up. Obviously, his specialty is defense.
Right.
And right when he gets the defense all sorted out, he said the next priority is offensive line and receiving.
Okay. Okay, so some rebuilding to do.
Yeah, and he hasn't mentioned QB once, so I'm not sure if he's happy with the ones that he has and he's just going to have an open competition or if he's just keeping it under his belt right now until the draft. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. One team to watch, I think, in the next coming years is, I don't know if you've seen, like, so far the Cardinals have been making some big moves.
Yeah.
I mean, their current receivers, I mean, just between Christian Kirk and DeAndre Hopkins alone, you know, paired with Kyler Murray, they're going to have a really dynamic, very fast offense.
Right.
That's a team to watch, especially with Cliff Kingsbury, who was actually a former offensive coordinator for Texas A&M when Johnny Manziel was here.
Okay.
So he has a lot of offensive success under his belt. And he knows how to use talented players. He knows how to work and run a fast, you know, kind of spread offense. And that's exactly what their offense is looking like. He was also the coach for Patrick Mahomes in college, too, at Tech.
Yeah.
So talk about an offensive guru.
You know,
Kingsbury could very well have one of the best offenses in the NFC in a few years. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
So that is a team to watch. That is honestly one team that I think might come out of nowhere. You know, they've had a few rough seasons, but man, with the talent that they're pulling in with Kingsbury, you know, coaching the offense, I guess, you know, obviously he's the head coach, but I think you're going to see a lot of production from them, and they might just, you know, be able to win their division.
So, yeah. Get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one team that's on my radar.
Yeah. Last time they were there is when they played the Steelers. So
yeah.
And that ended up being a great Super Bowl, if I remember.
It was an amazing game. It was an amazing game. Yeah.
But yeah. Like I've said before, I don't know if I've said it on this podcast yet, because we rarely talk about football, but when we do, we go off. So
yeah, we do. We love our football.
I had said that I'm really excited for Redskins now that I think they finally got the right guy in there to coach. So because I've always liked Ron Rivera all the way back when he was player on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
And then when he was coaching at Carolina, I was always liked him because he gave us fits when we played them when he was coaching there. And he took Carolina into a Super Bowl. And I think I already mentioned that when Cam Newton acted like a little kid. But hey, when you're a coach, you can't always, you know, control how some of your players are. And that's one thing I constantly heard, though, from former players at Carolina were saying that they respected him so much and he was a great influence on them. So I'm just hoping, I'm not expecting a, you know, miracle turnaround, but I think maybe in 3 or 4 years, I think the Redskins will be right back there near the top of the NFC East. And hopefully, if the Eagles and Giants and Cowboys all step up to the NFC East, hopefully we'll be back to the glory days where it was any of those four teams on any given year could win that division. So,
yeah.
Because it used to be the NFC East was one of the power conference or divisions. Now,
oh yeah,
last like 5 years, they've all kind of really stunk. So,
minus the 1 year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, yeah. NFC,
yeah, that's
NFC
true.
East has been, it's been on and off. I feel like they're either really strong and have two teams that can go deep, or they're just really weak all around, and like they're a bunch of wild card teams at best.
Yeah, and I was called a bad Redskin fan from some of my friends the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl because I was cheering for the Eagles. But hey, I'm like, hey, they weren't playing the Redskins. And I'm sorry, but they're representing the division my team's in. And look who they were playing. They were playing probably the team that I hate the most.
Oh, same. Yeah, I hate the Patriots more than any other team.
Of course I was going to be cheering for the Eagles. Come on. I only live a couple hours away from Philadelphia, so why not finally cheer for a hometown team?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I think everyone was cheering for the Eagles at Super Bowl anyways.
Yeah, because it was about time they won one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
About time and no one wanted to see the Patriots win again.
Yeah.
Except for Patriots fans.
I was happy for him, and I was able to call one of my best friends and said, and say, there you go. You got your championship. Now stop. You're crying.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, we need two more to tie the Redskins. You know, okay. I said, you might get there someday, but okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, geez. I'm like, I'll be happy with one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
I mean, yeah, as a Colts fan, you know, we've gotten one. I mean, the good news is that being a Manning fan, we've been able to have four, you know, within their careers, four Manning Super Bowls.
Right.
They ended in victories. So I've been really lucky in that regard, being a Manning fan. So that I really can't complain about. I've been really lucky with that. But, yeah, like the Cowboys, I call them my adopted team because, you know, I grew up in Indiana. So I, you know, Colts always been number one. But when I moved to Texas, I felt like I had to adopt a Texas team, you know, as my number two. So I chose the Cowboys. And, yeah, we put the franchise tag on Dak Prescott and we signed Amari Cooper and, you know, Dak's still around. So I'm really hoping that could turn into, you know, the trio 2.0.
Right.
Just like. Oh yeah.
I was gonna say, I just thought of another team that might be looking for a QB.
Who would that be?
The Giants.
Oh yeah, yeah. Eli retired.
Yeah. And the dude they got from Duke, he did look. Daniels, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He does look promising, but he didn't look spectacular, like everyone thought he was going to. So. You never know. Maybe Cam or even Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brady ends up in the NFC East, oh my God.
That would be crazy.
And if he would end up in the NFC East, obviously I would want him to be on the Redskins. But yeah, if he ends up in the NFC East, that would even if it's not with the Redskins, it wouldn't. Just make that division even, I mean, more, get more spotlight on them again right away.
I mean, the thought of Brady in the NFC really, just in general, really intrigues me.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's been playing, you know, mostly AFC teams his entire life.
Yeah.
So watching him go into the NFC would be just a huge, like, it'd be really interesting to see if he did better or if he does just as good or, like, you know, what happens to him.
Awesome.
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, other than the Giants, I don't know of any other NFC East team that's like desperate need.
No, I don't think so. Well, you know, only time will tell. But I think everyone is definitely anxiously waiting to see where Brady goes because whatever division he moves into, it's probably going to have a huge ripple effect.
Yep, and we'll see. We'll see if that team he goes with can surround him with the right personnel to make him as great as he was in New England.
Yeah.
So, and that will just make me even happier so I can just go, see Belichick, you're not as great a coach as you think. It was Brady, not you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, my family calls him Cheetah Check, just because of his prior scandals and you know him just seeming to write a check off for any sort of you know scandal that happens. So,
right.
Yeah, it's there's no love lost there in New England. Now I have heard the opposite argument too. I've heard that you know the people have labeled Brady as what they call a system QB. And the only reason why he was so good is because Bill Belichick's system is, like, just, you know, so flawless that you could put anyone back there and they'd be, you know, an all-time QB. Now, I don't know if that's true.
We'll see what happens later this year.
Because Brady had a way of just turning a game around
in
two drives late in the second half.
They could be down by 17 points.
Yeah.
Mid-fourth quarter. I've seen... Hell, he did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, magic.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think that's
true at all. I think Brady might be the greatest fourth quarter QB of all time. And, like, it's the same as a Peyton Manning fan. Like, right. Peyton Manning was also very good in the fourth quarter. I mean, he did have his moments where he, you know, the offense would fall apart, which happens. And, I mean, Manning was also a very clutch player. But Brady, that's where he would excel into the next level.
And right behind him would have to be Elway.
Yeah. And
Montana.
Andrew Luck was also, I mean, I know he really retired very early, but man, Andrew Luck had some monumental comebacks too.
Yeah.
It's just too bad he couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, just thinking back to that draft where Andrew Luck came out, because that was the same draft for RG3.
Oh, man, yeah.
And both of them just felt so bad for their careers and the way it ended up.
I know, and especially, I mean, we both, you know, both heartbreaking too, because, yeah, it sucks to see, you know, these two extremely talented, good QBs, you know, gone. And at the same time, that kind of, you know, the rest of the offense starts to fall apart after that. And then all of a sudden you're looking at like an 8-8 or worse season when you could have been, you know, a 12-4 or better team.
RG3 is still hanging on a little bit with the Ravens. I think he's still with the Ravens.
Okay.
So, and Ravens. I think he did play some this past year.
Really?
I think. Mop-up duty.
Yeah.
Because
I know that Lamar Jackson was, you know, creating a bunch of hype in Baltimore.
Oh, goodness. I'm, like, kicking myself, like, why didn't the Redskins take him?
Yeah, I know. Ah. He seems to be kind of like the new Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I saw him, since I'm also probably a bigger college football fan, I remember watching him at Louisville.
Oh my goodness.
He was a freak at Louisville. And I just thought, when I watched him, though, I was like, yeah, he's awesome, but I don't know if this will translate to the NFL.
Yeah.
So I've seen it before. So,
yep.
But he proved me wrong.
Yeah. He,
wow. Yes.
He has really, you know, done well. And I think Joe Burrow has that, you know, that NFL talent of staying in the pocket, making reads, making deep throws. You know, those are some really important NFL qualities, and he has all of them.
Yep.
And I mean, obviously he had some amazing receivers at LSU. I think there was one of his receivers didn't drop a pass all season, which is just unheard of. But hey, I mean, you can't do that without, you know, a QB throwing you great balls too.
Right.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to him. I think he could be a Super Bowl winner one day, honestly.
Who has the first pick this year? That's Cincinnati, right?
Yes, I think it's Cincinnati.
They would be really stupid if they don't take him.
Yeah, they would be.
He's going to be the number one pick.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Unless if the Bengals decide to sign Brady.
Yeah. If they sign Brady, you definitely see them start trading down right away in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're like, what do we need top pick for right now? Yep. Or they can still keep it and take another need.
Yeah, exactly. But who knows? I don't know what type of money is in Cincinnati. I don't know if they would have the money to do that, to sign Brady and a first pick in the same year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be a very expensive venture.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, I guess we can steer back on track if you want to back to Star Wars for a little bit. We talked a little bit about Ahsoka. Yeah, man, I'm excited to see, you know, this new arc. Coruscant's my favorite planet, so anything to do with Coruscant, you know, I'm all for it. So just, you know, that alone has got me really excited for the arc. And I don't know what happens. You know, I'd never watched kind of the unfinished episodes for anything.
Right, neither did I. I didn't see any of those animatics for the Bad Batch, so I was going into that fresh.
Yeah, same. Yeah, going in blind, as you could say.
I kind of read about them. I knew their names.
Yeah.
But that's probably all I knew. Yeah. So I saw maybe a couple concept art pictures here and there, but other than that, I didn't watch it. But like going back to before we started talking about the football, I think I was saying how I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if it was a comic or if it was probably a podcast I heard somewhere that I heard someone mention that Ahsoka and Rex faking their own death. And the more I think about that, I'm like, that would be really cool. Knowing that that's how they escape the Order 66, because we all know Rex pulled his chip.
Yeah.
Now to get out of like being hunted down for pulling his chip, maybe he just faked his death. Yeah. So, and Ahsoka only, I guess, the clone troopers would know that she used to be a Jedi, so they would have been after her anyway.
Probably, yeah.
So, yeah. I just wish I remember where I actually heard that. But, yeah, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, that would actually work.
It would.
It would. Faking their own death.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to see. And then, of course, that would perfectly, lead in with their, with their character arcs trying to, Rebels.
Yeah.
So it would be really cool to see that. And
Rex is out hiding someone, some freaking planet that looks worse than Tatooine.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
And Ahsoka's, no one knows her as Ahsoka. They, Fulcrum.
Right.
She became just a voice given intel.
Yep.
So. Yeah, but yeah, we'll see how they do it. But yeah, I can't remember. Like I said, if it was a comic book or I heard someone on another podcast mention it, but I just can't remember where they were getting their, information from. Maybe it was just one of their own theories.
Yeah.
That coming up with.
Yeah. That would just be, crazy to watch. But, I really know nothing about the Ahsoka arc, so I really can't make any predictions as to what's going to happen. But, and then, of course, we'll have one more arc after, after the Ahsoka arc. And after that, man, it's already going to be, I guess, game over for Season 7, which, crazy.
And ramping up towards Mandalorian Season 2. And hopefully get some news on, because I know the rumors seem to be still around. So I think it sounds like it's pretty good bet it's going to happen. The sequel to Rebels, where it's Ahsoka and Sabine looking for Ezra and Thrawn out in the outer reaches.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be cool to see.
It would be.
So, and like I said, I'm still hearing those rumors. So, like I said, if I'm still hearing them, it's a pretty good bet that there is something floating around that is going to happen.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will find out when they are going to get back on track with Kenobi. And I think the Cassian Andor series is supposed to start filming towards the end of this year. So.
Yeah. Yeah, which who knows? Who knows if anything's been pushed back filming-wise with coronavirus happening. I don't think anything was filming, though, so, everything might be okay. You could probably, plan and write, from home, I'm sure, for those series.
You just can't actually be on the set.
Right, but if there's no set yet, then, it's no worry.
Right, right. You can still be writing at home, so.
Yeah, so who knows what they're doing, but I'm sure they have a plan in place.
I feel bad all these movies getting pushed back because of this. And.
Yeah, I know. I was really looking forward to seeing the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, there. It was supposed to come out on April 10th, but they pushed it back, which was a really good call. But, man, I'm so ready for that. I'm so excited Time to Die.
Oh, that's right. The next Fast and Furious movie got pushed back, but like I said before, I haven't seen any of them, so.
Neither have I, and I really don't have a desire to, me personally. Yeah,
I don't know why, I just don't, but I heard some of them are good, but hey.
Yeah.
If I'm flipping through the channels one day and one of them happens to be on, maybe I'll stop and watch some of it. But
yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other movie they got pushed back. It wasn't Black Widow, was it?
I never heard anything about Black Widow getting pushed back.
Black Widow's in May, so I think that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. I know there was another one that got pushed back that I was like, oh man, because I was excited for it.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's just not coming to me right now. Hmm. But yeah, like a last movie I saw in the theater was Birds of Prey, so
just I think wait. The last movie I saw in the theaters was the Sonic movie.
Okay.
So, yeah. Which was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I was about to say, should I even ask?
No, and I actually it was good. It was not great. It was not like anything I would necessarily say, oh man, you gotta watch it.
Right.
But it actually, the movie stayed glued together from start to end.
Huh.
It didn't fall apart.
My one nephew, my middle nephew, I should say.
Uh-huh.
Second to the oldest. Him and his friends went to see, back when it came out, went to see the Pokemon movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because when he was growing up, he was really into the Pokemon.
Yeah.
And he loved, you know, that stuff. So he went to see it, and I asked him, I said, should I even ask? And he went, no, you should. And he goes, and you should see it.
Wow.
And I was like, really? And he went, hey. He goes, Ryan Reynolds doing the voice, he goes, is what did it for me.
Yeah. I think the thing that really did it for me in the Sonic movie was Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Jim Carrey was Dr. Eggman.
There you go.
Yeah. And he actually, he held the movie together, I feel like, single-handedly. And him alone, his performance is worth watching the movie. I mean, he was really good in the movie. And it pretty much, like, if there had been a bad villain, the movie would have just fallen apart until, you know, because the protagonist side, like, yeah, Sonic was fine, but it, like, wasn't anything that was, he was kind of he wasn't good, he wasn't bad, he was just And then, that was really about it, you know, pretty generic, you know, on the protagonist, but no, Jim Carrey, in his, you know, classic fashion, came out and stole the show and made the movie worthwhile. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to see some Jim Carrey and it's, like, you know, on, I don't know, Netflix or something that's coming out, it's worth a watch if you've got nothing better to do, and it's on, you know, streaming service. So, yeah.
Yeah. And me and my wife came to the agreement that we don't have to go to the theater for every single movie we want to see, which we haven't been doing that for years anyway.
Yeah.
But we will, if it is anything to do with Star Wars, Marvel, DC, or any real, like, horror movie that she has, like, a big desire to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
We will go see those.
Yeah.
So we started this year. I mean, we saw, obviously, Rise of Skywalker back in December.
Right.
Birds of Prey. Next one, I think the next one will be Black Widow, because I think that comes out before Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And then I think it's, what's the one in the fall for Marvel? Is it the Immortals?
Oh, I don't know.
I know there's another, like, team, like a, like they did with, like, Guard. It's one of those teams that people, if you read Marvel comics, you know who they are.
Right.
But they're not, you know, it's, well, it was like when they started the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. People laughed at them when they said, we're doing Iron Man.
Yeah.
They're like, of all the characters of Marvel to pick, you picked Iron Man. How are you going to make Iron Man cool? Well, when you get Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And then you get Jon Favreau, so.
Yep.
But yeah, everyone knows who Iron Man is now. So, but yeah, like I think it's the Immortals, I think, is the one that comes out in the fall. Because I know some, I heard it, I think, on the Ralph Report podcast that there's this group. This is the first time I've ever heard of this group. It's called One Million Moms. Apparently, okay. They're a Christian right-wing Christian mother group that they, I guess, have this stupid petition going around now to boycott Marvel's Immortals because there is a homosexual kiss. And I'm...
Nice.
I'm like, seriously, what year are we living in?
Yeah.
Because this isn't something new. It's been done before.
It was done in Star Wars.
Yeah. And I didn't hear... Well, I heard a little bit of outrage, but not, like, as much as I'm hearing about this.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I really don't care.
Yeah.
But that's... I think that's... And then that's when I found out the Immortals were coming out this year. I thought it was next year.
Okay.
Because I was telling my wife how I think this is the first year in a long time that there's only one Marvel movie. But, nope. There is two, so...
Okay. I'm really looking forward to Wonder Woman 1984 coming out.
Yes.
Whoever put together that trailer... I guess with Blue Monday, you know, in the background.
Yeah.
That was a great trailer. It looked so cool. It looked like it was going to be such an awesome movie.
Just some more 80s nostalgia for people like me. And oh my goodness. And to see weird people, you're going to get to see the Mandalorian without his helmet acting in the movie.
Yep.
Pablo Pascal will be playing the bad guy. So,
yeah.
I just can't wait for that. And when we were watching the trailer, I told my wife, said, "Hey, that's the Mando right there." She goes, "What?" I said, "That was the Mando." She goes, "No, it wasn't." I'm like, "Yeah, it was." I went, "He just doesn't have any facial hair." And she goes, "Oh my God, I don't even recognize him without it." So, because all the movies that we've actually seen with him before The Mandalorian, every movie we've seen of him, he's had facial hair. So,
yeah.
She's never seen him clean shaved before.
Yeah. I mean,
I said, that's him.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that movie. What, does that come out in the summer?
I believe so. I think it's June or July.
Yeah, I think so. So.
But hopefully they won't have to push that back.
Yeah. Pedro Pascal, I think I first saw him in it was Game of Thrones. Yep, it was Game of Thrones. And then now we got, of course, The Mandalorian and then Wonder Woman 1984, which, oh man, I am looking forward to. I mean, I'm looking forward to a lot of movies this year. Or I guess so we got the new Christopher Nolan movie coming out, right, too? Tenet, I think is what it's called.
Yep.
That's going to be a cool movie as well.
Yeah, I just can't wait for Knives Out to come out so I can finally see it. Because I've heard people saying nothing but great things about that.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch Knives Out.
And with the cast, I wanted to see it anyway because Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, come on.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So many great actors in it to begin with. And then Rian Johnson on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but see, there are movies like that, I really wanted to see it, but do I really need to see that on the big screen? It's a whodunit. So yeah. I can watch that on my, 50-inch TV.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, for sure.
So hopefully once, I'm hoping that, trying to remember what film company put that out. Because I'm almost starting to remember what film companies are owned by who. So that means it will end up on this streaming service.
Right. Oh, I know. I know. We gotta. Someone needs to make a chart. You know.
Yeah.
The pipeline from the big screen to the streaming service. I mean, that would be nice to know.
I mean, everyone knows now that if it's done by Disney, Pixar, Fox.
Yeah. ESPN.
It's gonna go to Disney Plus most likely.
Yep.
But everything out. Yeah, I'm just not sure if this is gonna go to Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah, I think too with Netflix is obviously they are pumping a lot of money into their own stuff.
Yeah, yep.
They're, so
and they do some good original series. I mean,
yep.
I just watched. Well, it's the second time I went through it because it's when it's only 7 episodes. 2, the episodes are less than 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's called I'm Not Okay With This.
Yeah.
If people haven't heard of it. It, and if you're a fan of the more recent It movies,
yeah,
it has the star of it is the one girl that was in the It movie, the newer It movies, mm-hmm. And it just looks the way the first season ended. I'm just really waiting for the second season because really hate it when they end them on cliffhangers like that.
Yeah,
but.
Oh. Oh, another movie, too. I can't believe I forgot about this one coming out. A Quiet Place 2.
Yes, yes.
That's another one that's I'm really looking forward to.
I mean, the first one alone was awesome, but
yeah.
It looked. I saw a couple clips of this one when John Krasinski was on the late night shows promoting it.
Yeah.
They showed a clip where John Krasinski was actually in the clip. And at first I was like, wait a minute. You died, bro.
Yeah.
But then as I watched the clip, I realized it was a flashback.
Yeah.
To when it all started to happen. And I'm like, awesome. We're going to actually see what caused this.
Yeah.
So that I was happy of. I'm like, good. You know, where did these things come from? Did they come from outer space? Who knows?
Right, right. Or were they mysteriously created in a lab?
Right.
Like the conspiracies about Corona are going through right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard all sorts of stuff about Corona. I heard one, people got it from eating, you know, bats that had the infection.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the other theory I heard was that, you know, this is like, you know, the one you could say is a little bit more wild is the, it was like created in a laboratory and then somehow, whether through accident or through, you know, some purpose, for a reason, it, you know, kind of got out of the lab and into the general public. So,
yep.
You know, there's a whole lot of, you know, there's always a whole lot of, especially yeah, like with, you know, a very, I guess you could call just, you know, not a lot of wiggle room between the relationship between US and China. So
right.
Anything like that is going to, you know, raise a few eyebrows. So who yeah, knows? Like, who knows?
It's like I that sure Clone Wars episode, you know, it's right. The virus.
Yeah, the Blue Shadow Virus.
That's it. The Blue Shadow Virus?
Yeah, the Blue Shadow Virus.
But, yeah. And then I know when it first came out, and I heard people saying coronavirus. I'm sorry, but when I first hear that, I'm like thinking the beer.
Right.
And it was funny because my sister on Facebook posted, this is back when it first started, posted a little meme that said I didn't spend my whole youth growing up drinking Mad Dog 2020 and she goes I'll be damned if I'm going to be taken out by a virus named after a beer
right.
Or something
like yeah yep like nope not I refuse to die because of your yeah. Name
I was like oh my who I was like that's another thing. Who comes up with the names for these things?
I think Corona, like, that's just a broad term. Like, COVID-19 is the strain.
Right,
you know,
right.
Obviously. But who that's knows what, where Corona, you know, came from?
Right.
Who knows? Maybe someone that hated Corona? You know, who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's not one of my favorite beers, but I'm not going to name a freaking virus after it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I just, yeah, I hear the more newscasts now are saying COVID-19 now instead of Corona. So
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, when I first heard it, I'm like, "What the beer?"
Yeah.
I'm like, I said, what's wrong with the beer now? They're like, no, man, it's a virus. And that's, I'm like, what, the beer's giving you a virus? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, people that come up with the like, I guess, more common names for them, I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah. People are weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think if that's it, we can sign off here if you're ready.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys all so much for tuning in. It has been a while, but we're glad to get back to you, and hopefully we'll have more coming out. I mean, we're on quarantine anyways, right? So,
yeah. I ain't going anywhere for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, with that being said, guys and gals, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll muscle through this coronavirus together. Hopefully the social distancing, as they call it, is going all right. Just think of it as a staycation, you know?
Yep.
You know, that's the best way to think of it. I know, it sucks. It sucks. No one likes saying, hey, don't go out and interact with the world.
Well,
but,
actually, I do have a doctor's appointment here in an hour or so. I'll get a drive downtown and see how deserted it looks. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
At least I'll get out of the house for a little bit.
Yeah. You know, stay inside to play video games. I mean, that teenage boy's dream right there.
There you go.
But no, it's been fun in that regard. I mean, I'm viewing it as, okay, here's a chance to decompress a little bit, get some stuff around the house done, play some video games.
Yep.
And just chill out and hopefully stay healthy.
Yep.
But, yeah. Well, then with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And may the force be with you.
Always.
Give the evacuation code signal.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
Life is about passions.
Thank you for sharing ours.
This has been the CantoCast.
May the force be with you.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.